going to give this first, because back there before church, when I was in my office, and I know when the Lord speaks, and He spoke Galatians 6:9 to me, and this is for somebody here, might be for more than one person. It says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart." And that's for somebody in here specific this morning, I know. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, at the right time, in God's timing, you're going to reap if you don't give up. It all falls on you. It all falls on me. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, you're toiling, you're working, and you want to give up, and the devil wants you to give up. That's just what he wants to do. Raymond, he wants to do that to every one of us. He wants to get us so disgruntled with, it don't matter what, but he wants us to get so disgruntled with things that we look at everything around us. And he wants us to give up. He wants us just to forget it and say, I'm out of here. Y'all, I'm convinced of one thing, if I've ever been convinced of it. It's easy to see the devil when you turn the news on. It's easy to see him out in the world. But I'm telling you, he's at work among God's people. He is at work. Don't you ever doubt that he's not at work among God's people. Because you know what he wants us to do? He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. You've been working a long time. You've been going at it for a long time. And sometimes we don't understand why. We don't understand why we're not seeing things change. But he says that we will reap if we don't give up. Don't grow weary while you're doing good. Don't grow weary. Lift your head up. Lift your voice up. Sing, shout, do what you got to do. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Because you will reap. The Bible that says that, he says, you will reap if you don't give up. So you can't. It's not time to give up, church. It's not time to give up, Christian. Keep on keeping on. You keep on fighting. You keep on trying. You take authority. There's a reason why God has had me preaching for weeks on end about the devil. I believe it with all my heart, because I'm telling you, I'm telling you, the devil comes at me to try to get me to shut up. If you don't think I hadn't fought some battles in the past few weeks, past few months, the devil's trying to get me to shut up, and I feel like this threat of this looming threat of, if you'll shut up, I'll leave you alone. Well, I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to shut up. I'm going to keep exposing the devil, and I'm going to do everything I can to expose what he's doing, because when light comes to darkness, then there's freedom. When light shines in, there is freedom. And that's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to shine the light, and he's wanting his children set free. But listen, we got to come out of the darkness. Amen? We got to come out of the darkness, and we've got to come out, and we got to keep on fighting for Jesus. Keep on keeping on. Because he wants us to quit. He's wanting you to give up. And we'd be playing right into the devil's hands. And we'd let him win, but I'm not going to do it. I am absolutely not going to do it. And so for whoever that's for, Galatians 6:9, if you want to go this week and meditate on it, read it every day. Get it down in your spirit. Memorize it. Quote it to yourself. Bring it up when you need it, because it's there. Amen? Amen. I was thinking, and I'm going to do the announcements at the very end. That's what I'm going to do. But I was thinking, and it's funny, because what Tracy has said, what Raymond has said, what the songs we sang this morning, every last one of them. I don't know if y'all didn't see the reoccurring theme or hear it this morning about the authority over the storm. Peter, and right now in my mind I can't even sing the first song. I'm just as blank right now. But I'm just going on the pictures that I've seen. Peter, Jesus pulling him up out of the water when he started to sink. I guess if there's anybody in the Bible that we as Christians could identify with, a lot would be Peter. Because you look at his life, and all through the Scriptures, Peter wins and he loses. He's up and he's down. He's standing up for Jesus, and he's denying him. He's suffering from lack of faith, and then he's walking on water. So if there's anybody that we could look at in the Scriptures, I would say that for all of us, we're up and we're down. We're walking on water and we're struggling with our faith and we're going under. And we go through all these things and we have tests and sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail. I know I have. But listen, that's just so much that you see in the life of what Peter went through and how he was. But this is what I do know about Peter. That even though he was strong and weak, and even though he passed and he failed, do you know on the day of Pentecost he preached and 3,000 people got saved? 3,000 people got saved. But he failed God. He denied Jesus. He bailed on Him when Jesus needed Him the most. But yet he preached. The Holy Spirit still was poured out. God doesn't measure your success by you. It's because, like what Raymond said, it ain't about us. It's not about a single one of us, but it is all about Him. And it's all about God. And aren't you glad He gives us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance? Aren't you glad God don't give up on us? I mean, it don't matter if we pass and then we fail the very next day. We can be soaring on wings of eagles and tomorrow we can crash and burn. That's the way life is. But don't ever get your eyes off of Jesus. Don't ever turn your eyes away from Him. Keep on keeping on. Keep on fighting. Keep on striving. Keep on trying to be the best Christian you can be. I don't care if you mess up at work. It don't matter. You know what? All you can do the next day is try even harder. Amen? I mean, if when we fail, you just try even harder the next day. Because I'm going to tell you, when we do that, God reveals His grace in ways that you've never known. The times you feel like you fall the farthest, the grace of God can lift you the highest. That's why that song is called Amazing Grace, because it is amazing. It's amazing what God can do through His grace. But you know what? This is, if I had to title anything or whatever, I wrote down hope for when you're struggling. Hope for when you're struggling, because God wants us to have hope. When you're struggling, God wants us to all have hope. Peter had his own personal battles, but Jesus never gave up on him. He never pushed him aside. He never gave up. And I feel like this, when it looks like we have failed, when it looks like you failed, God is still at work. It don't matter when you fail. God is still... That doesn't change God's plans. When you fail, when you mess up, God is still at work. Because if He weren't, He would have never used Peter. He would have never. But God is still at work. In Exodus chapter 14, if you want to turn in your Bibles right, I'm not going to be very long, but we got the story of the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. And just to bring us up real quick, Pharaoh has finally let God's people, he's finally let the children of Israel go. And the plagues, they've come and they've gone, and you go into every household of the Egyptians and there's a dead person there because the firstborn died. All that has happened. Every household, there's the missing of the firstborn. The children of Israel have packed their bags. Pharaoh said, get out of here and go. And they have left and they've gone. And after they've gone, after he's finally let them go, then he realizes, what have I done? I just let all my workforce go. I don't have nobody else to build anymore. I don't have anybody else. There was no saws going on. There was no bricks being made, no bricks being laid. He had just let all of his workers go. And Pharaoh comes to his senses and he says, what have I done? Go get them. And he gets his choicest men, his best fighters, his best warriors, his best chariots, and he goes after the children of God. And the whole time God is setting his children up to look like failure. Think about it. He is setting them up because he has led them right to the Red Sea where there is no hope for them to get away from the enemy. Pharaoh's chasing him. All the armies are coming after Moses and the children of Israel. And they're blocked. They're stuck. And they're like, what did you do? Did you bring us out here where there are not graves good enough in Egypt? You, Moses, you brought us out here so they could kill us out here in the wilderness? What did you do? And they started crabbing and complaining against Moses because it looked helpless. The enemy's coming and there's nowhere to go but God. Amen? It may look like you are in a hopeless situation. It may look like the devil has set it all up. God has even maybe set it up to put us where we're going to make our faith have to grow, where you're going to get to a place where you've got to trust Him. You have no other option but to trust God. Failure looks, it looks like failure. Everything you're in, it looks like failure. But God's got a plan. God has got a plan, and He's got a way. You ever felt like the devil's coming against you with all he's got? Because, see, that's what was going on. Pharaoh took everything he had to go after the children of Israel. And I feel like this. Sometimes we may feel like the devil's coming at us with everything he's got. What else is there left to pull out of the closet? Because he's come out with all of his weapons. What else can he do? But you know what? I believe that's how the children of Israel were feeling. But like I said, God is fixing to show himself. He's going to show out and show up. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, I'm going to get to Exodus, but Jesus said, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Why would Jesus ever tell us to pray something that we don't need to pray about? That's the prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And in that prayer, he says, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Would Jesus tell you to pray, "Deliver me, Lord, from the evil one," if we shouldn't be praying that? I wonder, y'all, I really do, but have you ever thought you have not because you ask not? Have you ever thought that you're fighting unnecessary battles with the devil because you're not praying against him? Jesus said, when he taught them how to pray, I'll say it again, "Deliver us from the evil one." I wonder how many battles, I wonder how much needless things we've gone through because we don't pray. I've heard several testimonies, and I have the testimony myself. Sometimes I can be in pain, I can be hurting, and my mind, the last thing on my mind is to pray for myself. I start thinking about everything else, you know, what have I done? Or, you know, and your mind goes to all this other stuff, and it's like, why don't you just stop and pray for yourself? What's it going to hurt, you know? I think a lot of times we don't have, and I think a lot of times we suffer just because we're not praying. And we're not praying what God told us to pray, what Jesus taught the disciples. "Deliver us, Lord, from the evil one." Deliver us from the evil one. Like I said, I wonder how much do we not have just because we're not praying. But in Exodus 14, Pharaoh's army, he's coming to take the Israelites back. And I thought about this. The devil wants to take you back. He wants to take you down. Especially if you're making any advancements. The devil wants to come and take you down. He wants to take you back. But in verses 13 and verse 14 of Exodus chapter 14, there are two scriptures in here that teach us a great lesson about spiritual warfare. Because like I said, it looks like Moses has failed. The children of Israel have failed because they followed Moses. But look what he says. "And Moses said to the people," Exodus 14, 13, "Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" That's spiritual warfare. I don't know if you realize it or if you even think about scriptures like that, but to me that is spiritual warfare. It says Moses spoke to the people. Moses said to the people. See, Moses had a word from God. God spoke to Moses. And Moses had a word from God. And you know what this word was? Deliverance. It was all about deliverance. But I think about this when I read that. It says, "And Moses said to the people." Listen, when you know the Word of God, you've got a word from God. Amen? When you know the Word of God, you've got a word. Moses gave the children of Israel a word from the Lord. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." How sweet it is. Think about what he's saying there. "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season." A word spoken at just the right time. How good it is. You ever had somebody speak a word to you, and it was just what you needed at just the right time? I'm telling y'all, there's something to that. Listen, God wants to use your mouth. Christian, God wants to use your mouth. He wants to use you to speak life. He wants to use your mouth to speak hope to somebody that needs hope. I'm telling y'all, God didn't save you. I'm telling for all of us, He didn't save you just for us to come to church, sit on a pew, sit in a chair, hear songs, sing songs, hear preaching, and then go home and live and then come back. Listen, God saved us because He wants to use every last one of us. Every last one of us. And you know what God's going to use the most? He's going to use your voice. He's going to use your mouth for you to speak hope, for you to speak life to somebody. You never know the words that you say. Tina, when you prayed for me, you never know what words mean. You never know what prayers mean. And when God can use your mouth to speak His word to the right person at the right time, because we don't know what's going on. I don't know a thing going on in the hearts of none of y'all. Nobody does. Everybody knows your own heart. But if somebody speaks directly to your heart, don't you know that's God? Don't you know that's God? And I'm telling you, Christian, God wants to use you because He wants to speak through your mouth. A word spoken in the due season at the right time, how good it is. How wonderful it is. The other day I went into Butler and I met a man. And I was talking to him, and just in our conversation, I was just sharing a lot that the Lord has been teaching me lately. And I was just talking to him, sharing with him, and y'all, as I was talking to him, I just saw his countenance just lifting up. I saw a man who was down. I could see the depression. I could see it. And the more we talked, and I'm just sharing with him the Word. That's all I was sharing with him, Miss Vera. I was just telling him the Word. I was telling him what God had been teaching me, what God had been showing me. And I watched that man, and I watched his countenance change. And I'm telling y'all, it was sweet. It was wonderful. And when I left Butler, I didn't drive back. I flew back out here. I felt like my feet didn't touch the ground for several hours. Y'all, there's a high when God uses you. There is a high that you can't get. There is no drug in this world can give you the high that God can give you. And I'm telling you, you can walk like you're walking on air. And I did. Because, y'all, it was at one of those times where Tommy felt the lowest. And if anything, God was showing, He was teaching me something. Because I did. At that moment, that day, I felt pretty low myself. Everything hadn't been going the way I wanted to. But you know what? I shared what was in my spirit. I shared what God had been feeding me. And like I said, as I'm giving it, God is just putting it back in me. And I'm telling y'all, I did. It was just that whole day, everything changed. It just totally changed. And listen, when God gives you a word, you speak. I wrestled with even giving that Galatians 6:9. I honestly did. Because I had everything prepared for preaching. But when I was sitting back there, it came to my mind just as clear as anything. And I wrestled even with saying it when I got up here. And I thought, well, Lord, where is it going to fit in? How do I even... But you know what? That's it. That's just it. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, if you'll just keep on keeping on, you're going to reap the good. You're going to reap the harvest of what you've sown. You sow good, you're going to reap good. Amen? Amen. I want to close with this, but what do these verses tell us real quick about fighting battles? Look at verse 13 again. Do not be afraid. Do you know the first thing the devil wants to put in you is fear? The very first thing that Satan wants to put on you is fear. And y'all, there's a good fear and there's a bad fear. There's a good fear in knowing that when God asks you to do something and you know you can't do it and you're scared, shaking out of your boots, that's a good fear. That's because God's asking you to do something that you can't do, that you've got to let Him do it through you. And that's a good fear. But there's a bad fear that causes worry. And that's the fear, that's what Satan wants to put on you. When Moses told the children of Israel, do not be afraid. I think he did it for that reason because he knew fear was there. What are we going to do, Moses? We're at the Red Sea. We're fixing to die. They're coming after us and they're coming hot and heavy. What are we going to do? And see, that's another thing. When he says, do not be afraid, stand still. See, then the devil would, and once the devil puts the fear in there, then he starts saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? God says, stand still. Do not be afraid, stand still. What are you going to do? Can you hear the voice of the devil? But what are you going to do? You can't just keep doing this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he will torment you with that junk. And God was telling the children of Israel, don't be afraid, stand still. God, I'm going to stand here until you tell me to move. God, I'm going to stand here until I see your way. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm standing here and I'm waiting on you. He says, do not be afraid, stand still and look. See the salvation, and that word salvation can also be translated as deliverance, and see the deliverance of the Lord. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, watch the Lord rescue you. I like that. Watch the Lord rescue you. Don't you love to see God working? Don't you love to see when God is working among us and in us and through us and all this? I love to see it when my prayers get answered. I love to see the things that I'm praying for. I love it when God gives me one of those highs, you know? I do. All those things. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch the Lord deliver you. Watch Him. You're in a hard place, but watch Him deliver you. Y'all, that's a word. I believe that with all my heart. You feel like you're in a hard place, stand still and watch God. Just watch Him deliver you. If you'll listen to Him, as the Word has come forth, if you will obey God, watch Him deliver you. Watch Him. He's going to accomplish it. It says, see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. When you accomplish something, that means you finished a task. You ever get up and you want to cut the grass or clean the house or maybe paint a room? Don't it feel good when you've gotten finished and you look at it and you see the finished work? It has been done. It has been accomplished. And see, God is saying, I will accomplish it. I will finish it. I will do this work for you. And He says, and again, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. Have you ever prayed, God, you got to do this because I can't? I bet every one of us have. I know I have. God, you got to do this because I can't. He says, the Lord will fight with you. Look at the last thing He says, and you shall hold your peace. You shall hold your peace. The New Living Translation says, just stay calm. The Message says, you keep your mouth shut. How many of us want to open up our mouths and let the venom spew? Especially when you don't know what God is doing, when you can't understand what God is doing. Here's the children of Israel. They are at a difficult place. God, what are you going to do? And Moses has a word from God. And His word is, stand still and watch the Lord deliver you. He will accomplish it. He'll do it today. The Lord will fight for you. You keep your mouth shut. You keep your mouth shut. See, a lot of times our mouths get in the way of God. Amen? A lot of times our mouths say stuff. Listen, if we can ever learn to stop it on this side, before it gets past the teeth, before it gets past the lips, if we can stop it back here, we've got the battle won, or at least half of it. He says, you watch your mouth. Because let me tell you what our mouths want to do. Our mouths want to speak what the devil says, or our mouths want to agree with our flesh. Because the devil is saying, how is it going to happen? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do it? And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll get in agreement with the devil, or we'll get in agreement with our flesh, and we'll start saying those things. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how God's going to do this. I wish God would just do what He's going to do. What are you doing, God? If we would just learn to keep our mouths shut, just keep them closed. I guess that's a battle for every last one of us. Amen. That's a battle everywhere we go. If we can just learn to hold our peace. Hold our peace. We used to sing a song about that around here. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory, victory shall be mine. If we can just learn to hold our peace, keep our opinions to ourselves, keep our negative stuff to ourselves instead of speaking it out. Y'all, it's hard though. It is hard. I know it is. That's why you got to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And that's why He's got the reins on your tongue and He's pulling them back. We've all felt it. We've all known it before. Every last one of us, I would dare say, you've known when you needed to keep your mouth shut and you just let it go anyway. Like I said, God help us. This ought to be our prayer. God help me to keep it on this side of my teeth. You help me keep it in here. Don't let it come past the door of my lips. God help me. And the Lord will fight our battles. And we will see the salvation of the Lord. We'll see Him deliver. We'll see Him do what He wants to do. Amen? Amen. That's a good word. And I'm going to just stop there. And I'm going to just say this. Listen, we're all fighting battles. Every last one of us, we're all fighting battles. And the devil knows what your battle is. God knows what your battle is. And God says, I've got deliverance for you. I got a word for you. I got a word, and it's called deliverance. I want to set you free. But you need to get in agreement with me. You need to get in agreement with God. What does God say? Listen, that's where your Bible comes. I've been preaching that for quite a few weeks too. That's where your Bible comes in handy. That's God's word to you. You want a word from God, then read His word. If you're not getting a word from God, then I would say you're not reading your Bible. If you're not getting what you need, you're not reading your Bible. You need to be letting God speak to you. Prayer, yes, we can pray all day long and hear our voice. But when you want to hear the voice of God, you read His word. And you'll hear His voice. And whatever you're struggling with, God will help you. If you're struggling with your mouth, get you some scriptures on your mouth. Write them on cards. Put them before your face. Memorize those things. Put it inside of you so when you need it, it comes up and it comes out. Amen? Amen. Tara, would you come up, please? God is good. He is so very good, y'all. And I tell you, if we can just get it in our spirits that God wants to use us, and let Him use you. Let Him use your mouth for good. Amen. You can pray for somebody. You can speak encouragement to somebody. You can speak life to somebody. When you see these children, your children every day, I know mine get enough negative from me, but I try to give them positive too. Amen. A battery's got a negative side and it's got a positive side, and it takes a balance of both of them to make that battery work. We need the negative, but we need the positive. We need both. We need correction, but we also need some encouragement, don't we? We need that. Every one of us do. And God may want to use you. The thing is, you've got to let Him do it. If you will, just stand with me. I'm not going to prolong the service, but I am going to do what I'm going to follow up. And if there's somebody here, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never been saved, if you've never asked Him to be your Lord, this is not anything for embarrassment. This is not, listen, this is life. This is a step into life. But if there's somebody here, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and be your Savior, and if you don't know that things are not well with your soul, then I want you to know Him before we go. God wants you to know Him before we leave this place. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And we should never be ashamed. You should never... Listen, Jesus was not ashamed of any of us when He died on the cross. He was not ashamed as being the King of Kings and the Son of God. He was not ashamed to lay His royal life down and take the life of a servant to come and serve us and to come and die on the cross for us. And if the world could just understand the life that there is in Jesus. If there's somebody here, if you don't know Him, I'm going to give you just a minute. I'm not going to prolong the service. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come up here and let us pray with you. I'm telling you, there will be a party in heaven and there will be a party in this church. That's what the Christian life is all about. Y'all, if we don't care about seeing souls saved, then we're missing it. But we were all saved. And if you don't know Jesus, just in this moment, please come up here. If the Lord is dealing with your heart, if your heart feels like it's just about to beat out of your chest, that's the Lord. That is the Holy Spirit. And that's Him talking loud and clear. Because He's the only one that can do stuff like that. Anybody at all, before we go, is it well with your soul? Is it well? Do you know that you would see Jesus today? If He called you home, are you going to go see Him? Father, I thank You, God, for Your Word. And God, I thank You for Your truth. God, I thank You that You lead us and You guide every one of us. And Father, my prayer is that You would guide us and draw us all closer to You, Lord. I pray, Father, God, I pray over every person in this sanctuary today. I pray for every relationship with You. God, I pray that You'd strengthen every person here today, Lord. I pray that You would do a work in our souls and in our spirits, God. And Lord, that You would draw us to You. And Father, we would, Lord, in obedience to Your Word, God, we would do what You're asking us to do, Father. Lord, that we would step out of our comfort zone, God, and we would do what You want and what You need for us to do. Father, I pray Your blessings over Your people. I pray Your strength. I pray health and healing and life into the body of Christ, Lord. Breathe life into us, Lord. Breathe Your life into us. And Father, for all You do, we give You the praise, and all honor and glory belongs to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me read the announcements real quick before we go. For this week, Feast of Tabernacle Practice, how's that?
The youth praise team will practice tonight at 5. Next week, we'll probably start with the choir at 5 o'clock next Sunday. So everybody who wants to help in the choir, remember that.
Okay, all right. Nine to 12. Lordy, Lordy, somebody turned 40 today. I'm not going to call their name. Thank you, Tiffany. Closed closet will be open tomorrow. If you can come help, Shelly could use some help. Okay, 10 to 12 tomorrow. Church tonight, God's voice. You want to hear it? Come back to church. You want to be prayed for? Y'all, tonight, I love Sunday night. I love what God's doing. I love us praying together. It's an awesome thing. Come back tonight, 6:30. October 5th, wedding shower for Claudia and Caleb here at 2 o'clock. I'm trying to decipher my notes. Here at 2 o'clock, October 5th. Okay, invitation on the board for all their registrations. That's all I got. Yes, October 3rd, David Jeremiah, if you want to go. Okay, it's on the bulletin board as well. Somebody else is saying. Four, two. Feast of Tabernacles practice on Wednesday nights too. For the teenagers? Okay, yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any other announcements? Amen. Love you.